is to designate this time from 11 to 3:30 a.m. 11 p.m. 3:30 a.m. to be up and around.
11 p.m. to 8:30 actually is the
forbidden
time, right, to sleep. So it's actually considerably. And if you're on the university, it's from dusk to dawn. So it's you can't sleep in a vehicle any time during that period of time if you're in the university. And the city, it's and the university, if you're outside or in a vehicle, it's 11 to 8:30 in the morning.
Okay.
But yeah,
so
that's.
If someone was forced into this position and had to live under these conditions, how could one possibly afford the time and the energy to be productive during the times when productivity is to be had?
Mm-hmm. It seems like a rather obvious question, which, you know, I would have said that the voters, if they looked at this law, and I've suggested to the city council, they put it on the ballot for November just as it is. I just put the current law on the ballot and point to the fact that it's impossible for people. It's clearly discriminatory, first of all, to arrest people for sleeping who are outside and poor and have no place to go, but just look at the rationality of it. How are people expected to become, to get jobs and do this sort of thing? It's simply a poor people be gone kind of law. And the city council, with the exception of Michael Rotkin and Michael Hernandez, who are generally bad on almost every issue, including this one, and had political motivation for wanting to support it, wouldn't even consider putting it on the ballot because the progressives have been running like little rabbits from this issue for years, and still haven't stopped.
Mm-hmm. May I share a bit of my own experience with you?
Go ahead.
Okay, I was once homeless.
Uh-huh.
Well, actually twice, and I'm not really proud of it at all, but I'm willing to tell you what I did during those times. I did the ickiest, nastiest, smelliest, dirtiest, messiest jobs that can be had. No one would do it. Hey, man, like, you only pay me minimum wage. I'm not going to do that, okay? Hey, dude, I'm homeless. I will do that. I will do that with a positive attitude. I will give you what you want. I will make the back of your grocery store smell good. I'll get in that dumpster. I'll hose that thing out. I'll scrub that thing down. I'll get rid of all that garbage, and the smell will disappear. Who will do that?
Mm-hmm.
A desperate homeless person would. And he would come home with two, not one, but two armloads of groceries. Now, they could be close to expiration date, but hey, it's food to be had, food to be earned, okay?
Right.
You wouldn't pay for this. It's too close to the expiration date. That's the day after tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But a homeless person who isn't afraid to work, isn't afraid to go ahead and humble down, knuckle down, and do it to be done, this is a bargain to be had.
Right.
You wouldn't believe how many times I've done something like this when I was homeless, hopeless. I had no hope of any kind of a future at all, and yet I came away dirty, tired, sweaty, hot, but with two armloads of groceries.
And had you been in Santa Cruz at the time, sleeping outside, you might have come away with a sleeping ticket as well. So.
Yeah, very well, very well. Right. They can ticket me all they want, because when I have nothing to pay, they have nothing to take from me.
Except, of course, your liberty and your backpack, which may get lost between your campsite and the jail.
Mm-hmm. Very well could be, yeah. That's where demanding receipts come in handy.
Caller, my problem again is I'm up against the hour. I got 9 minutes, and Uncle Dennis is an unforgiving talk show host. He will zip me out of the studio before we can say Jack Robinson. So let me ask you to sum up.
Sum up?
I mean, say anything additional you want to say.
Say anything additional?
Yeah.
Homeless people are not necessarily criminals.
You got it.
There you go.
Thank
Take
you for calling, and please call in again. Our show airs again on Sunday from 11 to 1:30 in the afternoon.
I'll be listening.
All right.
Good luck and good job.
Thank you.
Bye.
And for those who can't catch us on air, we have an off-air number, 423-HUFF, 423-4833, Homeless Action Coalition, for want of a better word. That's not quite what we're called. I don't think we actually have a clear name, but it's Michael Schmidt's Working Homeless Group. Meets tomorrow on Friday at 2 o'clock in the Holiday Inn. If you're interested, come on down, join us, let's talk, let's do what we can. If you're interested in the local Santa Cruz direct action group, I'm looking for a phone number as we speak. And I'm finding lots of numbers, but unfortunately there are contact numbers for this weekend, and so I don't have a lot of good information for you. But if you call 423-HUFF within the hour, I should be able to have a number for you if you want information about what to do in Los Angeles. SCAN met recently. Its housing committee met. This is probably a topic we cannot cover in 7 minutes, so I'm going to kind of have to put this ahead to Sunday, if we're still in town on Sunday, or possibly a week from Sunday, because if I take off for L.A. I probably won't be back till next Sunday, and I may be arrested down there because police are engaging in bizarre behavior, which violates the First Amendment in many cases, and in some cases one has to take direct action, which police seem to think is a basis for putting people in jail. Actually, I think they should be joining us in these direct actions to challenge failed national, state, and local policies towards homeless people, towards community control of police, and L.A. is a horrible example of police department. I hate to think of me dealing with the L.A. police, I'll tell you. It makes me cringe, but sometimes you got to do what you got to do. What else we got going? Boy, I wish I had my list with me. I'll talk a little bit about the SCAN meeting since there's not a lot of time. SCAN is a group which was appealed to by Residentes Unidos, the Dolphin and Lee tenants who've been fighting the city's attempt to dump them out, bulldoze their apartments, and then let a certain number of them back into a finished Mercy Charities housing-run project. On July 25th, City Council voted to dump the Lee tenants, activist Residentes Unidos members, and instead to force the Dolphin tenants into a Mercy Charities housing project. The matter is still, of course, a matter of some contention for a lot of us. Residentes Unidos supposedly has a meeting tomorrow at 6 o'clock, if anyone's interested. That is what the word is, though they have not had their most recent few meetings, and I can't guarantee this meeting is going to happen. For more information, you can give a call to 471-9099. I've not been able to get much information out of that number, but I'm hoping that possibly other people can, and possibly it's a matter of other local problems with the number. It's sort of a number that's being used while the Residentes Unidos phone supposedly is being put in again, though it's a week late, I got to say, in being put in again. Residentes Unidos is one of their chief representatives, Nena Ruiz, received a $500 grant from the not the Resource Center, but the Doug Rand Action Fund, and properly so. Nena's done a lot of good work around the issue of organizing tenants, bringing them to city council to say, don't destroy our housing unless you can guarantee that we can get back into something. And they still need to do that. All of you out there need to call city council to tell city council at their hotline, 420-5017. Again, I repeat, call city council, get your pencils ready, 420-5017. 420-5017. Tell them, don't acquire any property, make any change in the management of the current Dolphin property until after the elections. Let the new council make that choice. A lame duck council where four seats are going to be changed has no business kicking out a bunch of tenants with the Mercy Charities housing management in a sole source deal. Mercy Charities is not getting competitive bidding. It is not being considered with other people being considered. I've also for low-income housing providers. This is a backdoor deal that Catherine Byers, in collusion with Keith Sugar, engineered on July 25th at the council meeting. So call 420-5017 and tell city council, hold up on this deal until after the election. You don't have any business evicting dozens of families because Mercy Charities Housing wants to establish a nice name for itself in Santa Cruz and somehow has been given the power by Cecil Cirillo's redevelopment agency. And the gutless response of Mayor Keith Sugar, who promised the tenants a month and a half ago, I was in the room when he promised them that he would be pushing for the guarantees and he would never, never vote for anything that did not have guarantees. Repeatedly made this promise as far back as February in a debate I played on Free Radio Santa Cruz. The mayor is a liar. That's the sad truth. He didn't vote for the guarantees. Instead, he voted to second a nomination, I should say a resolution, by shadow mayor, powerful council member, swing vote Catherine Byers, that in essence hands over the fate of hundreds of people in the Dolphin complex to Elizabeth Vogel and Mercy Charities Housing. I'm afraid that is not good enough. Call 420-5017 and tell the city council hotline, tell the council generally, you find this not acceptable. Their business is to let the next city council make these decisions, not to ram them down the throats of the public, not to ram them down the throats of the community and the tenants at this time. So, Uncle Dennis is moving in here, covering up all my tapes. Thank you, Uncle Dennis. And I'm going to have to leave you shortly. Got about 3 minutes left in the show. But again, I remind you, 423-HUFF is the number to call if you would like to contact Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom off air, and we do stuff off air. I'm working tomorrow to get a Brown Act complaint in to the city clerk's office. That's a complaint that public process is not being appropriately followed by city council. And that's one of the things I'll be working on. There's also, if you're interested in ROAR, Restore Our American Rights, which is a campers organization, I don't think there's going to be regular meetings in the near future, but for anyone interested, we can arrange meetings if folks want to meet. And give a call to 423-HUFF if you're interested in doing that. So, there was...
Hurry up and get off, Robert.
Hey, hombre, I got another minute and a half. Boy, this big thug thinks because he's an Earth Firster, man. No, actually, the man does a lot of good work and gets a number of kickbacks. I noticed he was getting checks from, Keith Sugar? For heaven's sake. What
no,
do you...
No, I did not get a check.
Didn't get a check from Keith Sugar, really?
I got it from E.I. Carl. Yeah. Man who made the statue.
I see. You got it from the man who made it. This looked like Sugar was running the ceremony there with his little hat on backwards.
Doug Rand's...
Doug Rand's wife, Matilda Rand. That's the woman who hasn't talked to me in 2 years for some reason. I can't understand it.
The award to the community money folks.
Right. There were four organizations, including Residentes Unidos, that received money. And I like to point out, here's a brief tip of the hat to Bruce Bratton, or Bratty Bruce, as I sometimes call him, who generally whose columns are full of wind and nonsense in many respects, but he's recently been pushing and supporting direct action on behalf of, sustainable
agriculture.
And I commend Bruce for doing that. Now, if he'd only actually start turning to local human rights issues with the same passion, we'd all be saying right on instead of pushing the political fortunes of a few select scansters. That seems to be what he's doing at the moment. He'll be doing for the next month and a half. Bruce, get it straight. Good work on the Earth First stuff. Now move into the home stretch with other civil rights issues locally. Mostly the homeless issue, because they're the people who get denied civil rights, and of course those who get hassled by the police. My time is over. Dennis's time is beginning here. I'm turning you over to Uncle Dennis with a certain trepidation, but nonetheless, that's my responsibility. Thank you for being with me here on Free Radio Santa Cruz for the last hour and 45 minutes. Tune in again on Sunday at 11 for another edition of Bathrobe Spears Broadsides.
And that's it, Robert? You just walk away from the microphone?
Hey, man, you can do it.
Walk away from the microphone. Anyway, as I wiggle the microphone here and play with all the knobs and bells and whistles. Let's see, are you still recording over there, Robert?
Hey, man, everything you're saying is going on tape.
Oh, no, man.
For future reference.
Yeah. Yeah, means I'm going to have to go for a walk in the woods, huh? Oh, well, we had a great time walking in the woods this weekend. Yep. Let me get all everything straight out here. Anyway. Oh, well, I'll get it together here. Let me just... hope our listeners don't mind a little... Let's turn the headsets up a little bit. There we go. You want to get your tape out of there, Robert? Come on.
Yes, sir. Well, I like recording.
Good morning. My name is Roxanne Kistapache. Can you tell me how this works? When it turns red, I'm done. Is that the deal?
You have 3 minutes, and what will happen is that after 2 minutes, you'll start getting a yellow flash.
Oh, okay.
Then it'll be red. I'm going to start this over since we're discussing the procedure.
Because I was really confused last time.
I'm sorry about that. When it's red, the 3 minutes are...
It's your time. Okay.
Right. And I really appreciate it if people pay attention, simply because then I don't have to be rude and interrupt you.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Green light's on. Okay. As you know, I came here 3 weeks ago to talk to you about Child Protective Services and actions that are, I believe, outside the law and very unethical, and I think that we need to get our local CPS in order. We just said the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, which said with liberty and justice for all. But when someone comes into your home on the merest, slightest complaint, It can be an ex-boyfriend who's mad at you. It can be anybody. And someone can come to your door with a sheriff and pull out all your foster children. I've been speaking in the context of foster families as I've been an advocate for them for a year. But can pull your biological children out, the foster children, without the required warrant and without a petition from the court, then we're in serious trouble. Just by virtue of taking a child out of their home, you have created a special needs child, sometimes for the rest of their life. You can't just go, well, it was only for 5 days, we made a big mistake, we gave the kids back, it'll work out. It doesn't work that way. And in the, when I had come to you on the 1st of August, that previous Friday, five children had been pulled out of their home, kicking and screaming by sheriffs and social workers, because a foster mom had been accused of beating a child that she had there in daycare, leaving bruises. When the smoke cleared and all that was said and done, not the police looked at the child that took the report, CPS didn't look at the child in question. The kid had two cat scratches on her, what looked like cat scratches on her shoulder. There were no bruises on the child. Now, CPS can apologize till they're purple, but one of the children that was taken was an adoptive child who needs special feedings, and the foster mother still hasn't recovered. I'm here because I really believe that this kind of treatment has got to stop. And if you were going to compare CPS to a dog, I would compare it to a rabid dog at this point. I also want to say that I did adopt a dog from a rescue agency, and it took 2 months to integrate the dog into my home. When the children that I subsequently adopted, were dropped off at my house after a six-hour car ride. This is your new mom. That was it. People treat dogs better than they treat children in this county. So I'm here. I told you I'm going to come once in a while. I want to keep your consciousness clear about this. I have documented stories. I hope that you're listening because it's so, so serious. I won a case for someone 4 years ago because the evidence was actually, the documentation was trumped up. This is the end. Goodbye.
Thank you. Thank you for paying attention to that timer. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Marilyn Garrett. Liberty and justice for all also means freedom from pesticides. Yesterday, Sentinel traffic alert, I think it should also be titled health alert, reads Highway 236, Big Basin Highway to Highway 35, Skyline Boulevard, moving lane closures, both directions, possible delays, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Wednesday for spray operation. This is Caltrans. Their number is 423-0396. It would likely be unnecessary for us to be here today again had you requested, as did the city of Santa Cruz recently, that Caltrans cease, not reduce, cease, halt pesticide applications within the county. Four counties in Northern California, District 1, have stopped such pesticide applications and use other non-toxic methods of vegetation management. It's all described in this booklet. Use common sense, do the same. I'm Marilyn Garrett, am giving constructive notice on this 22nd day of August 2000 to the County Board of Supervisors and to Caltrans that if you permit Caltrans to spray pesticides, you may do harm to workers, people passing by, drivers, residents, land, waterways by toxic runoff to streams, watershed, people breathing sprayed chemicals as pesticide drift is global, inevitable, and unpredictable. Wildlife, aquatic species, amphibians as diuron and glyphosate, the active ingredient in Monsanto's Roundup, and the two most popular roadside killers were recently discovered to be among the likely culprits in the destruction of frog populations, beneficial insects, trees, perhaps the dying live oaks, and plants, as glyphosate has been found to inhibit growth of mycorrhizal fungi, which is a protector of root systems. Birds, fetuses, as a nanogram, a millionth of a gram of a dioxin, which is a contaminant of some herbicide, on day 15 of gestation sets the entire hormonal system askew for life, etc. and you may take on more expense than the original problem or the alternative methods needed to solve them. We again request that you follow Caltrans District 1 model of safety. It is profoundly disturbing that you have nonchalantly chosen a poisonous, dangerous policy and that you have disregarded 1,000 people who have signed petitions you possess calling for elimination of pesticides by Caltrans. Your responsibility is to protect public and environmental health, not the chemical corporation's wealth, which you are doing when you buy their toxic products. Request a halt to tomorrow's scheduled spraying, that's the last sentence, and all Caltrans pesticide applications in our, not Monsanto's, county. This amounts to chemical warfare, must stop. Caltrans number 4230396. Thank you.
Good morning, supervisors. My name is Michael Schmidt. I'm the Chief Executive Officer for the Santa Cruz Area Chamber of Commerce. Yesterday, we were fortunate to receive the Homeless Needs Assessment and Census Information 2000 that was sponsored by the United Way and other organizations. In March of this year, the Santa Cruz Area Chamber of Commerce presented a proposal to the Santa Cruz City Council regarding safe and legal places to sleep. At that time, we were under the impression that we might have an opportunity to secure the armory. We also felt that maybe the employee parking lot here at the county building might be an appropriate site. What I'm asking today is, I know that Supervisor Warmout, under her leadership, developed a coalition called All Kids by Two, because we really sense the need. I'm involved with that group now, and I applaud her for her leadership in that area to address immunization issues in our community. Now we have another call to arms that the mayor gave out yesterday, and I'd ask our supervisor, Marty Warmout, to take the same type of leadership on this issue. Homelessness, as we now know, is a local issue. It's not a national issue for us, not even a statewide issue. Over two-thirds of the people here that are homeless are from Santa Cruz, have lived here for 10 years or longer. We know that housing costs are a contributing factor, wages are a contributing factor, training is a contributing factor, and adequate support services are a contributing factor. And we can always say there's something that we need to do. Well, we'd like to recommend that we look at the Emmeline Center as an interim site for the vehemently housed. It seems to be away from neighborhoods and away from businesses, which seem to be one of the litmus tests to try to do anything for homelessness in this community. It would encourage to take a look at that, to coordinate with the other four cities in the county to address this issue on a countywide and citywide basis. Of course, I'm here and would be willing to work with any group to try to address at least this important issue. We felt at the Chamber in our data analysis that the people who are living in vehicles are mostly working poor families, they have children, and are the most vulnerable and also the most to transition back into the mainstream. And if we can find a safe and legal place for these folks to sleep, then I think we're in much better shape. I appreciate your time. Thank you very much for your attention. Bye-bye.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Schmidt, and for your continued advocacy on this issue. I think it's very important that the private sector is also willing to participate in these discussions. The report that you referred to, which I'm sure everyone has a copy of right now, is really very impressive in terms of dispelling great many myths.
Exactly.
About who the homeless are. Certainly in pointing out the gravity of the situation for many people who are working poor in this community. And you're quite right, the homeless aren't some other group of people from some other place who just happen to be here. They're our neighbors. They are much like the rest of us, not just men, but women and kids and people who are working and people who want housing. These aren't lifestyle issues. People who want housing, want job training,
yes,
want healthcare.
Exactly.
And want adequate food.
Well, we're here to work with you in whatever way possible. Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. Ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning, supervisors. My name is James Nay. I'm a human activist. I'm a local resident, and my family is long-term local residents back to a 190-year-old log cabin up in Valencia Road that my great-grandpa built in this county. And I can tell you that homelessness does touch on each and every one of us, and it's time we did something about it. I wrote a little speech here I'd like to read. I don't do well without having written it down. My name is James Nay. I know what it means to be homeless. I know what it means to try to shower, get my teenage son off to school, and get to work on time living in a camper in Santa Cruz. I know what it means to have a safe and legal place to sleep at night. Not everyone does. And I know what it means not to have one. I used to be a monitor with the ISSP. Locally, you know, which shelters homeless people at the Armory in winter and in area churches year-round. I can tell you firsthand that these shelter situations are only suitable to a very few types of people. People who are not gravely disabled, not too drunk or high on drugs, not acting out, not a couple who want to sleep together at night, not someone who has a job that doesn't allow him to be unavailable for work from 3:30 p.m. until 8 a.m., not someone who has a pet, not someone who has tuberculosis or an infectious disease, not for someone who has an impaired immune system, not for young girls who are very vulnerable to sexual predators, and not for any unaccompanied minors. Additionally, most of the folks who are living in their vehicles are afraid to leave their belongings as they could be stolen or their vehicles towed. You never see them at the Armory. The continuum of care is really a patchwork of services for homeless people and the very poor, put together on paper as a tool for getting grant money. I can appreciate that. Most homeless services are paid for with state and federal dollars, but you should not fool yourselves or us, your constituents, into believing that the common continuum of care is either continuous or caring. You criminalize sleep, and there are things I stand very much with Mr. Schmidt in that I think the Emmeline parking lot could be very usable, but there are many other ways and means. A campground, there are campgrounds in the county that could be used or created. We need to make a place for all people. There really are families out there in these streets. We don't have anywhere for these people to go, no help for them. It's these that I speak for, not the long-term ones that hang out around the shelter project in Santa Cruz or live that way because of choice. It's the families, the people at work. I don't know what more I can really say. It's a hellhole out there to these people. And it's time we all, as human beings, joined together and did something about this. Thank you all very much.
Good morning. Good morning, Board of Supervisors. My name is Grant Ramphal. I have property here in Santa Cruz County. My family moved here in 1948 when I was 9 years old. I was educated at Valencia School and Watsonville High School. I graduated from Watsonville High in 1957. And I came here today originally to ask that this issue regarding the trigger locks be extended so we can discuss it further.
I know that.
But since it was open to the public to raise other issues, I would like to do something I've thought of doing many times. I have two pieces of property in this county that were downzoned without my knowledge. And I came over to the county building and talked to people in the planning department and found out that they do this and put a little publication in the newspaper and that's legal notification. And then I did some investigating on my own. Piece of property I have over on Soquel Drive just off of 41st Avenue. I found out that other people over there who had their properties downzoned didn't know about the downzoning either. And I figured out close to only 2% of the people knew their property had been downzoned. Now, if our schools only graduated 2% of the children who could read and write, we'd say that was a dismal failure. And when you notify people and only 2% of the people find out about it, I'd say that's a dismal method of notification. So I would like to suggest that the Board of Supervisors change that and send, with a mass mailing, a letter that might cost, 20 cents, 25 cents, 30 cents. You can send 1,000 letters for $300, and that's a pittance. And that way, people would be involved in the process, and there would be government behind closed doors. That's what I'm suggesting. That's all I have to say, and I'd like to see something done about it because I would like to pursue this further. This is completely out of line. This is government gone astray, overstepping your bounds. It's not a representative form of government. We can do that. Thank you.
Good morning. I am Becky Johnson. I'm speaking on behalf of HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. Yesterday, Supervisor Wormhout told the community, according to the Sentinel, the homeless are like the rest of us. She called for a county-wide response to homelessness. She condemned homelessness roundly at the unveiling of the United Way study. Yet neither she nor the other bureaucrats assembled had word one to say about repealing or modifying the county's sleeping ban. So I must ask, is this more election eve feel-good, fluffed service providers rhetoric? So familiar to those of us who have literally have to turn off our televisions to avoid feeling sick or angry? Are thousands of homeless people in the county supposed to walk about all night like zombies because this board keeps sleeping in vehicles and on public property a criminal offense at night? What other solutions does this board have? You don't have affordable housing. You don't even have affordable campgrounds. Perhaps you suggest trespass on private property or committing robbery to secure the means to rent motel rooms. What alternatives are you giving people whose sleep you have criminalized? The failure of the national and state policy on homeless issues is well known. County bureaucrats play politics with the vacuous continuum of care to juggle more financial grants for more middle administrators while the poor continue to flee the police and strangle on the shredded safety net. A year ago, Supervisor Wormhout told us she believes in the antiquated and prejudiced magnet theory that says if you decriminalize sleeping in a vehicle, the whole world will move to Santa Cruz County. Has Wormhout actually gone back to the library and done her homework by reading the city's task force to examine the camping ordinance report of the winter before last? That report concludes that no magnet effect occurs when you restore civil rights to the homeless. Santa Barbara's Board of Supervisors, I'm told by writer Peter Marin, is on the verge of setting up legal nighttime parking spaces for those who live in vehicles. In Santa Barbara, affordable housing is the only affordable housing that's going to happen for poor people in the next decade will be in a vehicle. Marin also describes a program where county finances the purchase of vehicles through long-term loans for shelter. Is Santa Cruz any different? I'm almost finished here. How much longer will this board turn a blind eye to the basic fact that we must sleep at night and that our poor people have no choice whether to do so or not? It is this board that chooses whether to fine them $80 or let them be.
Good morning. My name is Robert Norris. I'm with HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. The county study estimates a county homeless population of 8,500. This is probably low considering the Department of Health and Human Services estimate of 3,000 to 5,000 back in 1988 when there was a significantly stronger safety net and a lower population here. The study's summary suggests, in fact, 6,000 to 10,000 homeless people in the county. United Way study revealed what informed people already know, that most homeless people in the county are our own local people. They are not homeless people by choice. They are not bums from Berkeley. They are not hippies and deadheads on a pleasure tour. They are people whose homes have been stripped from them by a variety of circumstances, ranging from rent profiteering to economic recession to sheer bad luck. They are folks who are struggling to survive, to work, to bring up families, to retain a shred of their dignity. Discrimination against our own is a form of self-mutilating cruelty. To tear at the most powerless in our own community and criminalize those who seek shelter and sleep is itself a kind of pathology, a political sickness which substitutes stereotypes and surrender to prejudice for healthy public policy. Discrimination of the most obvious and cruel kind is what we have now, written into the law and tolerated by this board. As I described 2 weeks ago, the county has a ban on vehicular and outdoor sleeping on or near roadways. The sleeping ban forces people to hide from the police rather than be able to use their services for protection. 10 days ago, a homeless man was viciously assaulted near the Loudoun Nelson Center and sent to the hospital. A foreign visitor who tried to intervene to help him was so badly beaten he needed reconstructive facial surgery. It took us years to get statistics from Santa Cruz Police Chief Steve Belcher on the number of assaults against the homeless. We are still waiting to hear countywide statistics from County Sheriff Mark Tracy. A simple request from one of your board might encourage the sheriff to lift the curtain on this dirty situation. How about it, supervisors? Will Supervisor Wormhout get for us the data we need to understand just how vulnerable the homeless are in Santa Cruz County? Or will we hear the sound of doors closing as the Winter Shelter Advisory Committee dispersed last year with nothing done. Will Supervisor Buttes act to make the county parking lot available? Will this board move to let the county's homeless sleep legally somewhere? If these most basic measures to decriminalize homelessness are not implemented, if the right to sleep is not restored to those who have no other options, then clearly the kind of protest we saw last week in Los Angeles is what we need here in Santa Cruz. This board must act to open up car parks and campgrounds now or suffer the fate of the Democratic and Republican parties. Last week in Los Angeles, we saw hacks spout rhetoric, panhandle shamelessly, sell off the country to the highest bidders, and then send in brutal police to silence the cries of pain and protest. What will it be here in Santa Cruz? Mark Tracy's deputies or sensible action from this board? The choice is now before us. Thank you.
We've got a question for you. Before we start this, can I not give my name if it's not too much to ask of, please? I'd rather keep a low profile for myself, keep things confidential for me. When do I start? I believe in freedom and justice. What I want to say is I have nothing against it, but I don't see where there's any freedom of justice or freedom and justice for people that have to sleep out in the streets where they feel unsafe, where they sleep at night. Like for myself, I sleep on the church porch at night, and I have to keep a 3-inch pocket knife in my hand because I'm unsafe in case if somebody comes up to me. I have to protect myself, and I always keep my member rights papers in my pocket in case I have to use it for whatever situation at hand. And by me being homeless, I'm on a very low income. I can't afford housing here in Santa Cruz or in California based on what the rent is. So what I do what I have to do to sell the papers that I get from Mr. Norris, you know, to make enough money to do what I have to do to, for me, because nobody else out there is going to do anything for me. And I have an interest in computers because I always like to go to the library every day first chance I get. But see, nobody's going to hire me to get in that kind of line of field because of the situation that I'm in. Nobody is not going to listen to me. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Good morning. Supervisor Simons, Alquist, Wormhout, Buttes, and Campus. Originally, I was not going to talk on this. My report is not finished. But I travel internationally. Pardon me? Jean Cheney Soderman. I travel internationally and also a researcher and investigative reporter. What I have found out, there has been a gross misjustice here in the Board of Supervisors. Measure C that was passed on June of 1990 is actually Agenda 21. I have incriminating damning evidence against the administration department, the planning department, and members of the board. I have friends in Geneva, and this is Agenda 21 coming out of the United Nations out of Geneva. I have coming out of Canada the local Agenda 21 planning guide. This states that Santa Cruz County is implementing this program. I have the local United Nations Association Local Agenda 21 Planning Guide. And I am cross-referencing international, Canadian, and local to explain to the people on the radio and as many groups as possible that this will implement draconian fascist laws on private property and every activity that we the people do. We're coming into a fast totalitarian state. And I only speak from facts and only from government documents. And so I give you instructive notice this morning that you will be receiving a packet demonstrating that Measure C that you will now readopt, amend. I'm sure you probably will not give it to the vote of the voters in Santa Cruz County, but we are going to publicly put this information out. And you must study this packet that I'm giving to you. Measure C is Agenda 21, which was signed in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, in 1992 by President Bush. Thank you.
Thank you. morning. My name is Jim Zarman. I live in Capitola. I'm here to talk about fire extinguishers. I believe fire extinguishers should have locks on them to prevent accidental discharge of the firefighting chemicals. I believe these fire extinguishers should then be in locked cabinets. I believe the fire chemicals should not be allowed to be within the fire extinguisher, but instead kept in a separate locked container in a separate room. I believe all of these different keys should be locked in a separate container and kept in a different room. And I believe everything I've just said is totally ludicrous, as is any inane plan to lock up any safety device, making it totally unavailable for emergency use. Thank you.
I'll be brief. I'm Barbara Lawrence. I just wanted to mention that I wanted to congratulate you on this IPM program that you've initiated, and I'm excited about how it's proceeding. I just became a little concerned because I'm reading reports how IPM programs are being undermined, the integrity, and I wanted to let you know that there are local people that are committed to keeping your long-range goal in sight of total elimination of pesticides on county property. And I've been in contact with some individuals in town that make me really optimistic that there's going to be involvement at the community level, at the ad hoc consulting level. And I just wanted, for the record, I faxed this list to you and Jeff Alquist, but I didn't get any response, so I just wanted it to go on the record that so far local people that are involved in seeing this program through its long-range goal is Sean Sweezy, which I'm thrilled about. He's an IPM specialist and the director of the Sustainable Agriculture Research and Education Program at UC Davis. He lives locally. Kirk Lennington is the resource ecologist for the city of Santa Cruz. It's his responsibility to implement this IPM program at the city. Jim Scott Behrens is co-founder of Farm Without Harm. Steve Chesbold, who was going to be the UC Cooperative Extension agent that was responsible for the contract, who has said that now they're not interested in the contract, but he as an individual is interested in being part of the ad hoc committee. Christine Nagel, she's a private organic landscaper. And I've also been in contact with two agencies that are very interested in receiving a bid for the contract. Sheila Dar is from
Everdex Transfer Protocol. http://cimabu.home.mindspring.com/index/of your keyboard.htm. My thanks for Schwartz City Hall meeting. I saw with North and Hopper Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom meeting. Glitzner, treasurer of the committee to elect Steve Argue, of which I am Chris Brostis, spelling is boy, Robert Ocean, zebra, alpha, alpha, Z, D, A, stop, as in bro, stop, bro, Z, as in dot, as in hey, yes, Russian, okay, Russian, dot, Polish name, one half syrup extraction, one quarter, lactate, one quarter full. Information coordinator for Steve Arkew's campaign, who was a homeless man who was thrown in jail and tortured with sensory deprivation, food deprivation, which is common. I've spoken to Larry on this. Yes, Larry, joint led by Huff. And Schwartz, I sign publicly, and I ask you to undo some things and sign this. Or by contacting me, cimabu@mindspring.com. Please, this is officer emergency, as I believe we are in a state, biologically a class equivalent state of affairs to that which occurred in the disenfranchisement of Jews in 1935 Nuremberg laws, which I speak to on my page in the third right. Now, common misunderstanding regards the Holocaust, and I studied it because I'm Serb, half Serb, and my 620,000 Serbs the entire population of the Gardena portion of Serbia, and you know I spoke to you on the mass starvation of Iraqis by genocidist Madeleine Albright, Secretary of State, Madeleine Albright. You don't know, but on the bottom of my page also is the fact that the Holocaust was 11 million people, including 5 million Slavs, 3 million Poles, 500,000 Serbs.
Sarah, I'm
at hands of anti-Pavlik.
You
are concising, man. Please don't.
No, I'm sorry, sir. You're going to talk
about Stachic. What do you want? I'm speaking. You're interrupting my time, and what?
I'm sorry.
You're trying to miscue me?
No,
please don't. Oh, my time is up. I'm sorry. Thank you. Super far.
Thank you.
Aquifer, and I can give you some facts as I have found them in my research. First of all, as I say, 79% of the water taken from the Purisima is by state chartered water suppliers. It is a fact that private wells each only take 1.4 acre feet a year, as opposed to 343.6 acre feet taken by the Soquel Water District alone. Furthermore, the Soquel Water District pumping practices are much more invasive than the private wells, being deep wells with a great impact on the aquifer, i.e. leading to possible saltwater intrusion, etc. So essentially, I ask why these draconian measures are being taken as far as metering and regulating private wells when, as I say, 79% of the water is being taken by these state-chartered water agencies. I don't see any kind of action taken against them. That's really all I have to say, except perhaps for one thing. Water is a finite resource. It is my understanding that the state of California owns the water in the state. I have a question for the board. Is this ordinance being enacted under the provisions of AB 3030, the state, the ordinance which was passed, I believe, in the early 80s, allowing local agencies to set up these water management agencies? Is this, in fact, the provision by which the county is establishing jurisdiction over our water?
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Clark, and I hope when this comes back, it's a complete ordinance of the government. Perhaps it will resolve itself.
Thank you. I don't know the answer to that question. As the county administrative officer has stated, that this ordinance is still being worked out. I certainly hope not, but I would say that it really makes no difference from my point of view, because you see, the people that put in new wells have the same constitutional rights as the people that have put in wells in the past.
Good morning. My name is Rosemarie McNair. I live in the SoCal area up Old San Jose Road, and I'm also a real estate broker. So I do hear a lot from private property owners in this regard about this particular ordinance. The concerns that we have, the way the ordinance is presently written, is that it would deal with installation of new wells after July 1, 2000. And that's the way it's drafted, so I don't know whether it would end up being retroactive because it's already August now or what the case may be. The ordinance also states, however, that there will be discretionary authority by the health officer and the planning director should they decide that they want to meter such wells on private property. The concerns that I have are the vagaries of the draft of the ordinance. I feel concerned because if you implement something that is so vague that nobody has the answers to the questions, such as what is the critical area? What does that really mean? Are there other ways to mitigate that? Have you dealt with the fact that perhaps this may be, not to use a pun, a drop in the bucket to your concern? Why are you metering private wells? What will you gain from just metering new ones? And will you move on to other wells throughout that that are not new wells? Or will that mean that when they're rebuilt or reconstructed or whatever, who's going to pay for that? How much will it cost? All of those questions are not answered in this draft. And when you have something that's vague, what you're doing is writing a blank check to something that is possibly very dangerous. We understand the problems that we have regarding water and groundwater, and it's a very complex law with the state. There are even laws, the groundwater laws, which refer to not monitoring private wells unless they're in critical areas. So the definition of critical area and how you determine that is very, very dire in this case, because that would mean that it's possible to go on private property with inspectors and fine people and do all of the things that this does say in the ordinance now. So I urge you, before you should pass any such ordinance, that it be very specific, that it be very organized and know exactly precisely where you're going, who's going to pay for it, and the whole nine yards. Because if you don't, then we're going to have a big can of worms that the public will have to deal with, and that is damaging to private property rights. Thank you. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is William Webb. I also live up San Jose Road in the Soquel District. I did write a letter. I faxed it in a couple of days ago. I was quite disturbed when I read the ordinance. The way it was written is very weak. The critical area is not identified. I also have, I wonder what steps have been taken by the water district or the county as far as conservation of water in this area. Where I live, but the water that I take into my house goes back into the ground through the septic system. Water that's used in the city is dumped into the ocean after it's treated by the sewer plant. And if the county were to establish or to put in tertiary sewer systems, the water would then be potable, could be recycled, could be used for watering of grasses for parks or whatever, even for irrigation in the Watsonville area. I don't know what else to say. I'm just very frustrated with how it was handled and the fact that there was very little publicity. Thank you.
Hopefully, given that there is now additional time, hopefully people will feel that we can be more informed than we have.
Madam Chairperson, members of the board, my name is Bob Listener. Excuse me. I live on 2731 Old San Jose Road, where I've lived for 40 years. We have our own well there. We irrigate our pasture, and we have our own livestock, and we don't use pesticides. We've been using the same water for 40 years. We haven't been using any more water than we did when we moved there in 1960. So I don't see why we should be penalized. I'm trying not to be redundant, because other people have spoken about this previously, but I don't see why we should have someone coming on our property and reading our meter and charging us more of a water when we haven't been excessive in the use of our water. What I'd like to say, as a longtime citizen of Santa Cruz County, I raised my family, and I'm opposed to this proposed ordinance. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Wilson.
Good morning, members of the board. My name is Nick Brolick, and I want to also register my vote against this ordinance. It just doesn't make common sense. You're trying to regulate something that I feel is not regulatable because of our private property rights. I think it's against the law. Secondly, a private well might pump 8 gallons per minute for a household. They're not even going to use that much, but say it's county requirements, minimum 3 gallons per minute. If you're monitoring a well at 8 gallons per minute and you require the homeowner to save 10%, well, what is 8 gallons per minute? So you're going to save 8/10 of a gallon per minute. You've already got control over 80% of the groundwater extraction in this county through the public agencies that exist. If you're pumping out 800,000 gallons of water through a public agency, 10% of that, the same savings as you would have on a private well, would be 80,000 gallons of water. Now, that's a savings. I think you should concentrate on where the greatest usage is, and that's with your own public agencies. Now, Scotts Valley has set into motion a tertiary treatment plant that's going to be coming online probably in the next month or two. That's to save a lot of water from the water that's going into the sewer treatment plant, and they're putting that through the irrigation system. They put in all new pipelines in Scotts Valley Drive to utilize this. Now, that's the way we need to save our water. It's going the wrong way to try and regulate and control private property. And I know what the reason, the underlying reason is, and it won't be said. It's to get control and get county officials on private property and take our private property rights away. It's not going to happen as long as I'm here. I will be against this 100%, and we will rally the troops if we have to again to stop this. Thank you.
My name is Pam Riolino, and I also am here to oppose this ordinance. I've lived up Old San Jose Road for 34 years, and I think that there could be savings in so many other areas. The overbuilding in town as well as up in the mountains has gotten outrageous, and I think you'd be better to concentrate on that rather than pick on the people that live on private property. Excuse me, I'm nervous. Thank you.
Anyone else this morning? I would remind people we are not here. We're all going to be continuing this public hearing.
Hi, David Smith, San Luis Obama. I haven't done a lot of research on this, but the information I looked at indicated there's no county council opinion on whether this will survive a constitutional challenge. Is that correct?
Okay,
can I ask you a question?
You can ask a question, but if you just give us your testimony and prove
if
there's something
that
you
can
get an answer
for
you,
you will. Okay. I agree with the previous speaker that these so-called critical areas are established by the Board of Supervisors, and therefore eventually you could make the entire county a critical area. It doesn't appear as if staff has to prove, scientifically prove, that you have a critical area. The proposal mentions monitoring existing large wells. In their definition section, you have no explanation of what a large well is. We think that water usage in private wells is pretty well known on the average, and we kind of question if you have 20 new wells established each year, what type of data? This is just a fraction, a very small fraction of the well usage in the county, and an even smaller fraction of total water usage in the county. What usefulness of information would this give you? I work in the field a lot, and I talk to the public about these things, and they think that you have intentions of expanding this to all existing wells. They just don't trust you. And I think if you pass this, you would be furthering an overall loss of integrity of the board. They just think that you are the enemy that they have to protect themselves from. I don't know how this is going to turn out in September, how the proposal will be modified, but I intend to look for some help in mounting a challenge to this. And so I'm thinking of litigation, so I'm asking you to get the county council's opinion to protect the interests of the county for the next public hearing. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smith, and I assure you, we would not go ahead and consider an ordinance if it was some kind of opinion that the ordinance that we're doing under the challenge.
Then back to my question. Do you have any information, do you have any public information from county council that has done an analysis on it? This idea of inspectors coming on your property, mandatory installation of meters, and infraction penalties for modification, damage to meters, and other things. But my question is, do you have an opinion from county council about that yet?
We are going to be looking at the whole of all.
I guess the answer is no. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else this morning? If not, is there a motion to continue the public hearing?
Thank you.
Oh, we're down here on the ball with
flipping
off the New Leaf camera on Tuesday, the 22nd of August, around 10 to 1. We're talking to that well-known criminal, vagabond, and loiterer, Jerry Henry.
That's a public nuisance number one.
Yeah, I ain't seen a thing new since I came here, but what's happened? You got a date coming up with the Jean de Rominger deferred?
Yeah, I think the luncheon's scheduled for Friday.
What time?
I think they'll do it at 10 o'clock. I think it's scheduled for 8:30, but I don't think they'll do it till end of calendar.
Department 2?
Department 2.
And you will be sentenced for how many charges?
Four.
And, again, recite for us your crimes, if you don't mind.
Oh, two disturbing the pieces and two trespassing on a public property, property open to the public.
Hanging out in front of a business that didn't want you there, man. I mean, come on, show some respect. This town is owned by the businesses.
Well, come on. We got our deadhead gurus, caffeine gurus of Santa Cruz County, you know, our deadhead gurus, roasting company.
You're actually referring to incidents that happened in Aptos at the Aptos Roasting Company, Gottschalk's, the police substation, and, of course, the infamous Rancho Liquors.
Al Capecker wanted to fuck me in the ass with the broomstick, yeah.
That was what he said. That's the Rancho Liquors fellow. There was a trial about a month and a half ago, and I guess the most important charge was thrown out, which is the conspiracy sort of charge, the public nuisance charge, right?
Yeah, it wasn't thrown out. It was a hung jury, and the DA's office doesn't know if they're going to retry me on it.
Pretty well hung, I might add. Actually, it was 11 to 1 against you, right?
11 to 1 against me.
And it was, wasn't this a criminal who was often seen in court supporting you? Mr. Hickey, I believe your name is.
I guess I am a criminal now.
And what are you doing down here on the mall?
I was reading my book, looking at a roadmap, just ate some pizza, just had some lunch.
Any comments on recent police activities here in town?
No comment.
Nothing's been happening? All has been wrong?
Well, I'm sure there's stuff happening all the time, but nothing that I'm firsthand aware of.
Good. And you also have been, a confrere of Jerry here. You spoke on his behalf at the trial. You've often been seen in Aptos engaging in subversive coffee drinking and things of that sort.
Conversive coffee drinking, yeah.
Yes.
Looking forward to the sentencing hearing on Friday for Jerry Henry. Hoping to do some speaking there.
He's going to call you as a character witness?
I don't know if we're calling witnesses, but I'm hoping that I can do an open forum of some sorts where I can speak about Jerry.
Speak on my behalf.
Yeah, I am going to speak on his behalf.
Now, you yourself got a ticket for, a colorful and straightforward confrontation with a deputy, correct?
Yeah, I was convicted here in the Superior Court for intentionally interfering with the sheriff's station in Aptos by trying to report a crime.
Well, we know that their real job is to engage in crime, not to take reports of crime, such as conspiracy to deny basic civil rights to young people and those who advise them.
I don't think they like anybody even telling them of crimes either way. I think that they think their job is to do the crimes, and it's not the citizens' job to do anything. And he told me that if I didn't leave when I was trying to report the crime, that he was going to arrest me. And I told him that I thought he was a fucked up asshole, and I had somehow in that conversation, among his lies in court, been convicted of interfering with the sheriff's department.
Are you appealing this conviction?
It just got denied by the California State Supreme Court. The sixth district upheld the juvenile court's findings and did an unpublished opinion on it, making it. And I'm thinking that I may want to do a mandate at the Supreme Court for them to republish that into public record, so it's not a concealed document.
So what is the significance of this document? What does it say for the next person?
Well, it doesn't say anything. That's the thing. They made it unpublished. So the ruling that
If it were published, what would it say?
Well, all it would be is it would just be president on the 602.1 charge. And right now it's acting only to affect me and no one else. So that judge hearing is I am at a point in law that nobody else gets affected by.
So if everybody were affected, what would be the effect?
It would just limit 602.1 and give grounds for how what 602.1 can be used for and what is criminal and what's not.
602.1 is a bizarre part of the trespass statute put in by businesses, something about trespassing with intent to interfere with a business, something like that.
Yeah, enacted in 95.
Okay. And so how would this provision be limited if it were published?
It wouldn't be limiting in that fact, because I think it was pretty much a a wrong ruling by the 6th District Court of Appeals. But what it would do is it would make it open to the public, and then the Supreme Court may not have the standing they had that they just dismissed my case. It may make them say, all right, everybody's being affected by this. It's not just this one person, so now we need to look at it.
So if it's a bad ruling that affects everybody, it's better than, at least in terms of the courts looking at it, it's better than a bad ruling that just affects you. On the other hand, the risk is that they would uphold it, and then it would be a bad ruling that would always affect everybody, right?
Well, if they uphold it, the case is can be filed in federal court right now. I got the opening for federal court, and my case isn't just going to stop here. And I feel as innocent gets. And
what crime were you trying to report?
I was reporting a semi parked in the fire lane. 1 week prior, they threatened to ticket my friend Jerry Henry for distributing food to a homeless paraplegic man in the fire lane, where every single of all the liveries in the fire in that shopping center in Rancho Del Mar were made from in that fire lane. And so the next week there was a 40-foot semi parked right where Jerry was, and so I went to the cop that tried to tell Jerry to leave on threat of a ticket, and he said he waited for me to leave when I first told him, and when I came back in 5 minutes later when the truck was still there, I went back in. I told him there's a fire lane still parked out there. He said, I heard you the first time. If you don't leave, I'm going to arrest you.
What was the name of this so-called police officer?
This was Sergeant Hemingway of the Sheriff's Department.
I think I've heard that name somewhere before.
I know Henning.
Hemingway.
Oh, Hemingway.
You know, like the author, only not quite the same person. Indeed. Anything else you wish to say on this or any other matter?
That's it.
Jerry Henry, anything you wish to say, sir? You who face, conceivably, what, 2 or 3 years in jail as a theoretical possibility on what's the date? August?
Here, you get
to it. 20. It's this coming Friday. It's August 25th.
Okay.
And, if people have any concerns about whether they can be in public and not be called a nuisance, they may want to come down and see what's happening.
So that'll be at 8:30 or more likely at 10 o'clock in Department 2, right?
In Department 2.
701 Ocean Street. Come on down or call 423-HUFF for more information. We're talking to?
It's Sun Song.
And how long have you been in town, Sun Song?
A couple hours.
Well, so you're just new on the scene.
Yeah, I lived here a while ago, though, for like a month or so.
And how did you do then?
Very sneakily.
Really? Were you in a vehicle or outside?
I was outside.
And did you get ticketed?
No, I was sneaky.
You were sneaky. Were you clean in your campsites?
Was I clean?
Yes.
Yeah.
And did you poo-poo and pee-pee in the street?
No.
Did you leave debris where you slept?
No.
Did you harass poor police officers and break windows?
No.
Then what seems to be the problem?
Well, basically, they want everybody to be a slave, and they want us all to work and get nice little box houses and pay nice little taxes so they can sit there and buy big bombs and take over small countries. And so it all
fits. One of them
together.
Radical types, man?
Yeah.
We don't want your kind around here, lady.
Yeah, I'm very liberal, damn it.
Very liberal. I see. Anything you wish to tell our Free Radio Santa Cruz audience?
I want to say, fight power! Let us sleep! We're just sleeping. We're not criminals. We're just homeless. We're not homeless. We're just houseless, so it's not that bad. Let us be. We're not hurting anybody. That's all. I love you all. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
is to designate this time from 11 p.m. to 3:30 a.m. to be up and around.
11 p.m. to 8:30 actually is the forbidden time, right, to sleep. So it's considerably, and if you're on the university, it's from